This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Listen, over the last weekend, I went to a family reunion, and unfortunately, that fell on that particular time of the month that all of the women know what I'm talking about. So I had an attitude. I wanted to eat everything, and I was in the South, which means I wanted to eat everything that was terrible for me. And overall, I just wasn't feeling it. I had a great time, just wasn't feeling like myself. Now it's easier to manage PMS with estrogen control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the show code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today.
Banking with Arundel Federal Savings Bank means so much more than you think. Your money stays in the local community. It helps everyone grow and prosper. From a young couple moving into their first ever home to a growing family getting the bigger house they need. What else would you expect from one of the best community-minded banks in all of Maryland? Visit ArundelFederal.com for current rates and special offers and help keep it local. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
This episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast is brought to you by God is My CEO, a prayer journal for entrepreneurs. I am so excited about this journal because it is the first ever prayer journal specifically for entrepreneurs. God gave me this idea a little over a month ago for me to create this journal for business owners. And I am just amazed with the response that it's gotten thus far, the people who've been able to pre-order it and download the virtual digital version and get started with growing that relationship with God and allowing God to be the CEO of their business. This journal is amazing because it has a space for you to surrender your business to God. It has a space for you to write down your million-dollar ideas that God is going to give you as you grow in your relationship with Him. It has a place for you to write down your answered prayers so that you can constantly be reminded that if He did it once, He'll do it again. There's a section called I Feel But I Know. And in that section, it allows you to navigate the difficult feelings and sometimes just the very personal feelings of being an entrepreneur and relate that to what the scripture says so that you can be encouraged in those not so sexy parts of entrepreneurship. There's also a section for sermon notes. So if you guys are like me and you watch a lot of sermons online or if you just attend church, there's a section for you to take notes in there as well. And then, of course, there are the journaling pages. So there's a morning and evening section for you to journal and spend time with God every single day. So I'm so excited about this journal. I've been getting such amazing responses from everyone who's pre-ordered already and been able to utilize the digital version. So make sure you go to www.blessedandbossedup.com so that you can pre-order yours today. Let's start the show. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media. An entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am truly on a high today. It's Monday. I'm recording this episode a little bit later than usual. I usually like to record it the week before it comes out. But last week was just so busy with all of the wedding fun. On Saturday, I had a bridesmaid brunch. So I wanted to plan this really fancy brunch for my bridesmaids to just thank them for being a part of my wedding. A lot of them, I think all of them except for like two, had birthdays already this year. So I wanted to just celebrate their birthday. So I got like some cupcakes to sing happy birthday to everybody. And then I also put together, if you follow me on Instagram, then you saw this bridesmaids information packet. So it pretty much went over everything from the wedding colors, the wedding location. I'm having a destination wedding in Jamaica. So it went over the details of the resort, travel, dates, expenses. So we know how much money everything is going to be, payment schedule, like what they're going to be wearing. I really had everything lined up, what the groomsmen are going to be wearing, the details of the wedding weekend, who was in charge of what events, who's in charge of like the bridal shower or the bachelorette party, all of that. All of this was outlined in this package. And I got a lot of compliments on it because it was very beautiful visually, but it also was very detailed because I wanted us to all just be on the same page. I'm like committed to not having a stressful bridal time. I'm not going to be one of those stressed out, unorganized brides. That's just not who I am. So I really loved the packet. They really loved it. And so we had such a great time. We're all on the same page as far as what's going on with the wedding. We got a lot of ground covered. I'm just excited. We played games. We went out that night to a little silent party where you like put on headphones and you can listen to whatever station you want to listen to. So that was pretty fun. So I just had such a great time with them. It's so hard to get all of us in the same room because everybody is busy. Everybody has things going on. So for everybody to just get together and for us to be so productive and have such a great time, it just was so amazing for me. And then that was Saturday, and Sunday I went wedding dress shopping and I actually found my dress the first time around. So I'm so excited about that. I went to this place called Love Couture Bridal in Potomac. So shout out to the lovely ladies there. It was such an amazing experience. And I found my dress, and it's funny because the dress that I tried on was actually too small. But the lady was like, no, this dress looks so good on you. I just know it's going to fit perfect with your curves. Like, you have to put this on. So we're literally like, I'm sucking it in. She's behind me, like lifting this dress up. She's like, it's okay. If it rips, it doesn't matter. We got an alteration department. Like, you need to see what this dress looks like on you because I know it's going to be perfect. So she was so adamant about it. It made me more adamant about it. So I'm like, okay, let's get this thing on. So we stuffed myself in this dress, but I could just tell, I was like, okay, this is the one. As soon as she brought it out on the hanger, I was like drawn to it instantly. I'm like, I like this dress. And it's crazy because like all of the dresses that I've seen online that I have on like my Pinterest board, I've tried on when I was there. I tried on a lot of them that were similar to what I thought I liked. So when I put this dress on, it was beautiful on the hanger. But when I put it on, I was like, wow. And pictures don't do things justice because a lot of these dress designers, they be having these little skinny size two white women in these dresses, but they just look totally different on a black woman's body. And so when I got it on, just the way it hugged my curves, even though it was too tight, it still was super flattering. And it was just such a beautiful dress. And I was like, this is it. So we ended up going with that dress. So I said yes to the dress. So I'm so excited. It just made everything so real for me. The dress is just so beautiful. It has these little details. My fiance listens to this podcast, so I'm not going to get into too much about what it looks like, but the details in it, I know, are just going to be so beautiful for the setting, with the way the sun is going to be hitting it, the way the beach water is going to be hitting it. I just know it's going to be so beautiful. So I love the dress. I'm so excited to get this dress. So yeah, that was my weekend. So I'm just super excited to record today's episode and just kind of share with you guys. I know a lot of y'all follow me on Instagram, so you kind of just see my little journey of being an entrepreneur, being a soon-to-be bride, and just all the things that I have going on. So shout out to y'all for hanging out with me and just tuning in to all these amazing things that's happening in my life. So I think I'm going to even No, let me not say that. Never mind. But yeah, also wanted to share a good experience. You know, I love to utilize Black women entrepreneurs as much as possible. So one of the listeners to the podcast, Whitney, have reached out to me. She is a lash artist. And she reached out to me and basically offered to do my lashes for free. And so people reach out to me all the time because of the podcast, because I may mention, let's say I'm planning a wedding. So, of course, that's just like cue for all of the wedding designers to slide in your DMs, or all the wedding people to slide in your DMs without you actually saying that you wanted help. So I really hate unsolicited offers. So when she slid in my DMs, I was intrigued because, well, she offered to do them for free and I'm frugal friend. So I'm like, cool. You know, she wants to do my lashes. She does a great job based off her Instagram page. So I'll go and see what's up. And if she does a good job and I enjoy my experience, then of course I'll become a regular customer. So this just worked out. And so I went to her and I love my lashes. If you guys go on my Instagram. Well, I don't think I posted any like selfies on Instagram, but if you were paying attention to my stories, I did post some pictures there of my lashes. I've gotten compliments for like the last week since I got them done on my lashes, and I just love it. She's so nice. Her place is so nice. The bed, the massage bed, the lash bed is like a massage bed. So I'm like falling asleep, and I was always never the type to get individual lashes because I didn't feel like I could really lay there that for the time it took and let somebody do my lashes. But I was like, you know, let me just try this. It's a great way to have a nice glam look without having to put on makeup every day. I'm not the type of person who beats my face every day. I really only wear makeup if I have to. So I had such a great experience. She was so nice. My lashes look amazing. So I definitely had to shout her out on here. Her name on Instagram is at Subtle Rebel Beauty. I'm going to put it in the show notes. This is not an ad. She didn't ask me to talk about it on a podcast in exchange for her doing it. I actually even asked her what made her reach out to me to do this. And she was just like, I've blessed her from her listening to this show. So she wanted to bless me. So I want to send as many people to her as possible just because I thought that was so nice and she did such a great job. And I'm so satisfied and she's so sweet and I cannot sing her praises enough. So definitely go to at Subtle Rebel Beauty. I'm going to post this in the show notes. If you guys are looking, she's located in Alexandria, Virginia. So if you guys are looking to get your lashes done or looking for a lash artist, and she's very affordable. I honestly think she should charge more for the quality of work that she does. So y'all go holler at her before she raised them prices and listen to me. Subtle Rebel Beauty. I'm going to post it in the show notes. She did such an amazing job. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Whitney. I cannot thank you enough for just making my lashes look so amazing. Okay, so for today's episode, I actually wanted to do a little Q&A. For you guys that don't know, y'all have heard about the Blessed and Bossed Up Challenge on this show, but we're actually in the middle of it. We're about 2 weeks in of this challenge, and this is pretty much for anybody who has purchased the God is My CEO prayer journal. And we are in a Facebook group together, and I go live every day, Monday through Thursday at around 7-ish on whatever topic God leads me to discuss that day. And so we're going into like the third week, and I'm so excited about just the praise reports that we're getting in that group, just the great feedback we're getting in that group, the way people's lives are being blessed and changed, the way women are just in there supporting each other is just so, so amazing. And it just really shows how awesome God is. And it makes me feel good to just see the results of something that God wanted me to do. So if you're not a part of that group, you have to have the God is My CEO prayer journal to be a part. Like, the journal is the foundation of the group. So definitely go get your journal so you don't miss out. Get it off of Amazon. If you just search my name on Amazon, it will come up. And that way you can just Amazon Prime it and get it in 2 days. Or you can definitely get it from me. I got a new shipment this week. So I have books in-house that I ship out pretty quickly. You can get it from blessedandbossedup.com, and definitely join us in a group. If you order it off Amazon, send me an email, Tatum at TatumTamia.com with a proof of purchase, and I'll send you the link to join the group. But yeah, after you order it, let me know and I will send you the link to join the group, and you can just come and get your lives changed with us. It's such an amazing group. But that group is actually the premise to today's episode. I have posted on like the second day or so if anybody had any questions about making God the CEO of their business, because obviously they understand that that's something that they need to do. That's why they bought the journal. That's why they're in the group. But a lot of times I personally never want to be the one that pumps you up to do nothing. I care way more about results and being practical than being inspiring. I feel like if you have results and you tell people how to do stuff, that's inspiring in and of itself. So I'm not one of those motivational speakers per se. I'm just somebody who is going to give you real instruction and real guidance and real practical things that you can actually implement in your day-to-day life. And so because of that, I had asked them the question of, what questions do you have about making God the CEO of your business? Because I don't want you to be confused. You know, in order for this thing to work, in order for you to really see God work in your life and your business, and in order for you to really live this blessed and bossed up lifestyle, you have to know what you're doing. So I wanted to make sure I answer questions early. And so I felt like a lot of the questions that they had are questions that a lot of you guys may have as well. So I wanted to answer those on the podcast for any of you guys who are struggling with making God the CEO of your business, or any of you guys who have committed time and time again to strengthening your relationship with God and just seem to have fallen off. You may have a lot of these questions as well. So I'm going to go ahead and answer those. So the first question says, I'm not going to say the person's name for any of these, but the first question says, how did you surrender your business and build that trust with God? For me, I had to just understand from day one that trust is something that's built. And then because I know myself, I know that surrendering is something that I will have to do every single day. And I think that's true for a lot of us, because we feel like, okay, I'm going to surrender my business to God. And we may pray one day, like, you know, God, I surrender this all to you. This is your business. You're the CEO of my business. And then we get upset with ourselves when we go back to doing the same things that we always did, or we go back right back to doing things in our own strength. And a reason why that happens is when you're doing something new, it's not a habit yet. So you have to build up that muscle memory, and you have to constantly surrender your business to God and constantly pay attention to the fruit of that, so that you can, and that allows you to build trust. So for me, I start my day every day with God. I don't just pray one prayer over my business, or I don't only surrender my business on Mondays when I fast. I surrender my business in my day and everything every single day. And I'm honest with God. I'm like, listen, especially in the beginning, I was very honest. I was like, this is new for me. So I've been in, and this is me talking in my prayer time with God. I was like, I've been inconsistent with my relationship with you my entire life. My relationship with you has never been consistent. I've always gotten to little spurts where I would go to church every weekend. I would pray a lot and I would say I'm not going to do certain things anymore. And then somehow I always fell off. So inconsistency was my pattern as far as my relationship with God goes. So I was being honest. I was like, God, I need you to light a fire on the inside of me that allows me to stay consistent. Light a fire on the inside of me for you. Make me passionate. Make me just as passionate about you as I am about business. Like, let's be, I think we'd be trying to play games with God. Like, we don't, like, he doesn't already know all of this stuff. And I told God, I'm not passionate about you. I'm not passionate about praying every day. I'm not passionate about reading my Bible. I'm not passionate about making you CEO of my business, because if I was, you would already be that. If I was passionate about you, I wouldn't have to be praying this right now. I'm just not. I'm more passionate about my business. That's why I wake up every day and I work as hard as I do. But I have come to the point where I understood that I need you in order for this to happen. You're the thing that's going to break this glass ceiling. And now that I know that, in order for me to actually carry this out and not go back to just working hard on my own strength, I need you to make me passionate about you. I had a real talk with God, and now those were my words. And God made me passionate about him. I started getting excited about my prayer time, and I would ask God, like, show me that this works. You know, show me, I know that you're real, but show me that making you a part of my business is lucrative. And so God did. I got opportunities. I got new clients, new money, all of these things, new ideas. And God just made me passionate about him and showed me the financially and in opportunities, the result of that. And that's how my trust began to build. Because once I took my hands off the steering wheel and I saw that things were going a lot better than they were when my hands were on the steering wheel, my trust got built and I started to hear God more clearly and I started to get more comfortable just surrendering. So so for the person who's like, how do I surrender or whatever, you just have to start by praying and being honest with God. Lay all the cards out on the table. He already knows anyway. Tell him that I have issues with this faith thing because of the things that I've seen in church. I have issues with this faith thing because people who claim to love you have hurt me. I have issues about this faith thing because I don't even know how to hear from you. So show me that you're real. It's okay to ask God these things and he will show us. That's how you build relationships. Relationships are built off of honesty. So if you're just honest with God about how you feel or why you haven't been able to surrender to him yet, or just be honest that you don't trust him yet, because that's what it is. If you trusted him, you would surrender. So just be honest, like, I don't trust you yet, God. How do I build that trust? Can you make me passionate about you so that I want to go as hard towards pleasing you as I do to being successful in my business? And then he will do those things for you. So that's where I think you should start to surrender and build trust, is to be honest, to pray, and lay every single thing on the table. The next question says, I started journaling this morning and it felt good to have that time with God. Writing everything down made it feel more real. I would love to hear your thoughts on moving in silence and or when to share your ideas/thoughts with other people. So there's a sermon called Marked by Pastor Michael Todd. And we've talked about this in the Blessed and Bossed Up group, and I posted it in there. But it's on YouTube as well as the Elevation Church's podcast app. But in that, he told a story about how it's easiest for the devil to kill certain things when it's young. And so he gave the example of, like, when a baby is younger, it's easy to kill the baby. And I related it back to how when you have when someone has an abortion, it's only acceptable up to a certain age. Once the embryo, I hope that's the correct term. I don't have children, so forgive me. But once it is, once the child has grown to a certain size or after a certain amount of weeks, you aren't able to get an abortion. It's safer to do in the earlier times. And so he kind of gave that example about how it's easier to kill things in its infancy stages. And so it's the same, it's similar to when it comes to your ideas or your dreams, because it's so new, because it's the idea is so fresh, because you haven't saw the results of it happening yet, because you haven't seen your belly grow to know that it's something in there yet, it's easier for the devil, for naysayers, for family members to kill that idea or to poison it in its infancy stages. And so keeping that in mind, I think when it comes to sharing your ideas, you have to protect it. You have to protect your ideas while God cultivates them. You have to keep those ideas and that business to yourself between you and God in its infancy stages until you've developed enough to be able to share it with other people. So, and a lot of times we jump the gun when it comes to that. And one of my favorite quotes per usual is a Jay-Z quote. And it says, don't listen to anybody. Everybody's scared. And what happens is people start to place their own limitations on you. And that's happened to me in business over and over again. That happens to almost everybody because everybody's just not going to understand. And we have to get out of the point of trying to get everybody to understand what it is that we're doing or get excited about the idea that God gave us or get it or invest in us and support us by buying our stuff and all of that, when that's just not their job. Your friends and family are not your customers. If you're only selling to your friends and family, your business is still not going to be successful. hustle. So trying to convince other people to hop on board and support you or whatever and be excited about your idea the way that you are is a waste of time. Your job is to cultivate the idea in the beginning and allow God to really tell you what to do to make it be a success. So for me, I say only share your ideas when you are unbothered by the opinions of other people, or when you're very firm and confident in what it is that you're doing, to the point where if somebody was to tell you, oh, that's a bad idea, I don't know why you're doing that. Like, do you really think that's going to be successful? To the point where people can come at you with that type of stuff and it not faze you at all. That's when you're ready. And we can get into our bag of, oh, it don't faze me, or I can handle it, or whatever. We can fake like we are like that all day. But when it's something so new and so precious to us in the beginning, what people say does affect us. And so because of that, I will hold on to those ideas first. And also make sure those ideas you have are from God too. You know, in those beginning stages, you really need to be communicating with God and having those, that prayer time where you're talking about your ideas so that you can get confirmation that that's what you're supposed to move forward with. But this whole debate about moving in silence and all of that, I choose not to get involved in that because it's always just a meaningless back and forth. But as far as when to share your ideas, really just hold on to them until you're confident and rooted in what God has called you to do. And also check your motives of why is it that you feel the need to share it at all? Is it because you need validation? Because if that's the case, then definitely don't share it because you're still insecure in what's going on. Is it because you feel like you need somebody to, I don't know, like just really think about what your motives is for wanting to share it first too. Cause that might be a indicator of if it's time to share it or not. I know for me, I just don't tell my ideas to because I don't really want to hear what they have to say about it. And that's like that for me, even with family, because they just aren't going to understand. So why am I going to waste my time convincing you of why you should believe in my dream or what it is that I'm doing when I can't change your mind? You're not going to believe in it. You're not going to agree with me. So I'm just not going to say anything. But the way people are, once the fruit starts showing up, once you start being successful, once you start seeing that increase in your life, people going to ask questions. Well, how did you do that? Or, oh, I want to do this. Can you tell me how you do that? People will shoot your dreams down when it's in the baby stages, but once it's full grown and you start seeing the fruits of your labor and you got the freedom of your time back because you don't got to worry about a 9-to-5 and you could take a trip whenever you want to because you're financially able and you ain't got to ask a job for no time off, or when you can splurge on yourself and buy something nice that they got to save up to do like that. Once people start seeing stuff like that, they'll hop on board. So don't waste your time trying to convince people of anything in the beginning. Just focus on building up that dream and growing it to the point where once they start asking, then you can help them out and give them gems where they can start building something similar for themselves. Somebody says, how do you stay consistently disciplined? So discipline is the same as, when it comes to discipline, it's like muscle memory. Like if you do the same thing enough, it's going to become natural. When you go to brush your teeth, you're not thinking about taking the top off the toothpaste or rinsing off the toothbrush and pouring a toothpaste on and brushing it. Like you're not thinking about that. You just get up and do it because you've been doing it your whole life. It's the same thing. Once you've been driving long enough, it's just, you know, you get in the car. If you got to push to start, you just push the little button, the car starts, you put it in drive and you go. Like you're not really thinking about it because you've built up that muscle memory. You've done it enough time. So it's the same thing with getting disciplined. Come up with a routine and do it enough times to where it's second nature. To me, waking up and spending time with God is second nature because I've been doing it for so long. For me, fasting on Mondays from food is like second nature. I've been doing it for so long. I know Mondays I'm not eating until 6 p.m. So I'm not going to be throwing no hissy fit because I'm hungry, or I'm not going to just eat because I'm hungry for that instant gratification when I already know why I'm fasting every single week. And I know that I'm getting closer to God in those times. So I'm disciplined because I've done it enough. And so for you guys who are struggling with being disciplined, create a schedule. I did a podcast a couple months ago on developing the discipline to succeed or something like that. So I suggest going back and listening to that episode because I do talk about it in depth. But creating a schedule and then doing it consistently so that it becomes a habit is how you really stay disciplined and not letting your emotions dictate what you do. I think that's a problem that a lot of women specifically have is we allow our emotions to affect our business, or we allow our emotions to affect what or if we do certain things. And that's not how we should live. We have to be disciplined so that no matter what's going on in our personal life, we get things done. And that all comes with creating that schedule and creating more disciplined habits so that you can, it becomes second nature. It becomes like muscle memory at that point. Someone asked a question more about the financial side. I can't remember if you were tithing beforehand or not, but how did you transition into tithing 10% on a consistent basis? So when I first started tithing, it was because somebody, one of my friends who was who's more spiritually mature than me, she was somebody who God would always use to confirm certain things with me when I was still struggling with hearing his voice directly. So tithing was something that I always knew that I should do, but it wasn't something I always did because I would feel like, oh, I don't have any money to tithe, or I have other responsibility. That money can go towards something else or whatever. I looked at the tithing as just the act. And I didn't really understand tithing as far as what that means for me. And so it was just something I always was inconsistent with. And so my friend one time, she called and she was like, hey, do you struggle with tithing? And I was like, Jesus. Okay. I was like, yeah. She was like, yeah, you need to start tithing because that's the last thing that God really needs for you to do for your blessings to start coming. And so I was like, all right. I'm going to become a tither. And so that's what I did. I tithed 10% off the top, off the gross, not the net, not after I paid all my bills. I paid God first, 10%. And so, but I also started researching tithing and researching what the Bible says about tithing. And the Bible says that when you tithe, I'm actually going to find the scripture so that I can quote it correctly. It says right in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Put me to the test. And so I was like, wow, like this scripture is so powerful. God is saying, put him to the test, like that. If you give me my 10%, I'm going to give you way more than you actually need. And so that's what I did. Once I realized the severity of tithing and how tithing really protects me in a lot of areas, because at one point it seemed like every time I got money, it was going right out. Like a bill would come up, something with how a car might have issues. Like it was always something that came up whenever I got an increase, and it was because I was not a tither. So tithing put that extra sense of security on my finances, as well as it opened myself up to get a blessing from God that I can't even fathom. And so I started tithing and I committed to being a tither. I'm the type of person naturally, if I commit to doing something, it's just what it's going to be. I'm going to do it. And so that's what it was for tithing. But for other people, it may take a little bit longer to build up that discipline. And that's why I say make it a routine. Figure out what your tithing schedule is going to be. Beforehand, I would tithe every time I got like a new client or something. I would take the 10% off the top and I would tithe. And I tithe online because it's just easier. So, and I would tithe to the church. And then over time, thank God, money was coming in more frequently throughout the week. So I couldn't keep up with tithing 10% on every transaction. So then I switched over to, at the end of the month, I tithe 10% of what my earnings were that month. And I don't base it off of like my bank account, because if I base it off my bank account, that factors in what's gone out. So then I end up kind of not realizing it, but tithing off of the net, because my bank account is a reflection of what's coming in and going out. So instead, I would go to all of my payment processors and I would take 10% off of everything that I made that month. And then I would take that number and tithe it. And that's something that I do consistently every month. I don't care if I made a cent, I'm going to give God his 10%, period. And that's just something that I do because it's required of me in the Bible. So I transitioned to doing it 10% on a consistent basis by coming up with that schedule. So if you get paid every 2 weeks, then you may tithe every 2 weeks because you just take it off of whatever 10% of that, the gross of your pay for that pay period is. Or if you do it like me at the end of the month, you pay the 10%, but just figure out what schedule works for you, but know that God needs to get his 10%. So once I realized the importance of tithing and I started seeing the fruits of tithing, when I started tithing, I started making a lot more money, but those tithing percentages definitely went up. But God was showing me, when I put him to the test, like the word says, he was showing me the fruits of that. And so I became a consistent tither because I trusted God. I trusted what the word said. I paid attention after I did it to see, all right, God, like, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Or if this, does this really work? And once I saw that it did, that was it. So if you're struggling in the area of tithing, it's because you don't trust God. Obviously, it's because you don't trust God to give it back to you. And that's, to be honest, that was me. I didn't trust God to take care of that bill if I didn't use my 10% to pay it. And so that's why I wasn't tithing. But once I became a tither, God really has just taken care of me beyond just meeting my basic needs. The next question says, how do you know the difference between what God is telling you to do and what you are doing on your own? And this is a great question. And a lot of people struggle with discerning God's voice. And this is an understandable struggle. Nobody is just wakes up one day automatically knowing how to hear from God. Like, it takes time to really build up that relationship to know how or if God is speaking to you. And so I would pray. Well, for me in the beginning, I would just pray and be like, God, I want to hear your voice. Like, and I didn't trust that I was hearing God's voice in the beginning. I would have to get confirmation. And especially beginning, I would really need confirmation to know if I was hearing God's voice. So even when it came to quitting my job, I just felt it. I felt it so hard in my spirit that it was time for me to leave my job. And I fact checked it by looking at the Bible, like, okay, I'm nervous because this is a time, if I leave my job right now, this is really a leap of faith. And I was preparing to take a strategic step out. I mean, not necessarily leap of faith, but a strategic step out a few months after when I actually got the word that it was time for me to leave. So I was like, okay, I need to make sure that this is the right decision and I'm actually hearing from God. And so a way that I did that was fact checking through the Bible. And that's how you can do that too. Does the word that's already written confirm what you think that you're hearing? Because, excuse me, if it does, then you're probably hearing from God. So for me, I had to think about it. I was like, if I left my job when I planned to leave my job, that didn't require faith. And God needed me to be faithful in that season. And so I was like, okay, this requires a lot of faith. And I was like, I'm still going to pray about it. And I got confirmation by an event that it was time for me to leave my job. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and leave. And so that was that. But even after that, I was still not confident in hearing God's voice. And so he would speak to me through other people who are more spiritually mature. So for you guys that's on this journey and you're new at making God the CEO of your business, I highly suggest that you get around people who are more spiritually mature than you, who God can speak to directly to confirm things through you. And that's been a great thing in our group for the Blessed and Bossed Up Challenge. Is every day that I pray, I'm like, God, what do you want me to talk to your people about? Like, what is my subject for the day? I don't plan what I'm going to say at all. Not one bit. I don't have no, and I'm an organized person. Like, if this was just in my own strength, I would have had all the week's topic ironed out 6 months ago. But because this is something that is 100% spirit led, I'm like, God, you tell me what I'm going to talk about. And then even on the lives before we even get started, I'm praying, just really asking God, like, speak through me. If there's anything that I need to say to confirm something in somebody's spirit, let me say it. And I do that even before getting on this podcast. And a lot, I've gotten tons of emails and DMs and even on like iTunes reviews of things that have been confirmed for people as a result of listening to this show. So God will use other people. And even on the lives, after praying that prayer, there's been times I've gone on off on like rants that I didn't expect to go off on. But I know that I'm not going to stick to what sounds good, what's the most grammatically correct, what's the most organized way to speak. I'm going to let God speak through me. And with that, people will get confirmation. So if you don't know how to hear from God yet, it's okay. Like, work on building that trust and learning how God speaks to you, and ask him, God, I want you to speak to me. Like, I want to hear your voice. And he will start showing you, you know, God speaks to people through dreams, through sometimes through other people, sometimes through their own like still voice. Like, he speaks in a variety of ways through nature. I highly suggest the book by Joyce Myers, How to Hear from God, for anybody who's struggling in that area. That book really helped me in the beginning to be able to look out for ways that God will speak to me. And so, but through our relationship, I began to learn how God speaks to me directly. But in the beginning, he would confirm things a lot through other people so that I was sure. And even now, when it comes to big decisions, I'll be like, there's some things I just know, like, okay, Tatum, you don't need confirmation for this. Like, this is God. But there's some things I'm like, I don't know. And I would ask God, like, can you confirm this for me? And then I will get confirmation from other areas. So, yeah, you learn the difference between what God is telling you to do and what you're doing on your own by learning how to hear his voice and by developing that relationship over time. The next question is actually about fasting, and they pretty much wanted to know, what do I do on my fasting days? And so, for you guys that don't know, I fast every Monday. I've been doing this for about 8 months or so now. And I fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. from food. I fast from food because food is the hardest thing for me to give up. Like, I can turn my phone off or get off social media from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's not that big of a deal for me. I can do almost anything throughout that time period and it not be that big of a deal for me. Now, eating is a whole nother thing, and it requires a whole nother level of discipline. And so that's why I chose that. And I remember having a conversation, and I was telling somebody, we were talking about fasting, and this was prior to me fasting every week. And I was like, I could fast, but I don't know about from food. Like, I can't do that. And I kind of felt like convicted in that sense of, so is food more important than you building up your relationship with God? Like, why is that the one thing that you can't give up? And because I've said that was the one thing I couldn't give up, that was the one thing that I gave up, just to really further show God that I'm willing to do whatever, and I'm totally committed and surrendered to his will for my life. And I had a friend, the same friend that's more spiritually mature than me, in my, like, around last year when I was really just growing my relationship with God. And she told me, she was like, you know, the Bible says that something only come through prayer and fasting. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, you know, God wants you to turn your plate down and from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and fast. Some things only come through prayer and fasting. That was the scripture. She actually gave me the scripture without explaining it. She was just like, this is the scripture you go off. And I forgot where the scripture's at. But I didn't understand the scripture when I first read it. So I fasted all day. And then after my fasting day, I got a lot of confirmations about things that I was believing in God for, or things I was still confused about, questions I had about my business and how to move forward and about life and things like that. I got a lot of answers that day. And then I also was able to finally understand what the scripture meant. And what it meant was, some things only come through prayer and fasting. So it was really God just teaching me another way to be strategic in my relationship with him, and another way to get the things or to get the answers that I'm seeking from him. And so on my fasting days, I wake up at 5:30 every day. If I'm hungry, which is very rare that early, I'll eat before 6. And I had to eat in the beginning. When I first started fasting, I would eat a lot at 5:30. Now I really just don't, because I'm used to it in a sense. So I pray, I wake up and I, you know, wash my face, brush my teeth, little hygienic stuff. And then after that, I pray. My prayers in the mornings are definitely a little dry because it's early, but I really just pray and I journal and set my intention for my fasting day. So I write down like the things I'm fasting for today, and I will write them out. And then I will go and I will watch a sermon on YouTube. I read my Bible. I have a Bible study that I'm still working through. I should have been done. But I have a Bible study that I do, and it's separated by day. So I would do a day off the Bible study. And then I would just move on to whatever I had to do for responsibilities wise for that day. I like to do the most important things first, because on my fasting days, I get hangry and impatient and my mind just stops working after a while. It's being that hungry. So I definitely move on to whatever I have to do that day, and I get the most important things done first. And then after that, I might watch more sermons. I might listen to spiritually based podcasts, but I really like to limit the things that I do to responsibilities, but only really doing spiritual stuff. So I try not to listen to trap music or whatever I normally would listen to on Mondays, just so that I can really build up my relationship with God even more on that day. And then as it gets closer to 6, I might cook. It depends on what I'm cooking, what time I'll start cooking. But I like to make sure I got a plate hot and ready at 6 on the dot, not a second after, because your girl be starving. And then towards the end of the day, I also pray. And I try to allocate like 30 minutes, and I'll just pray, journal, talk to God. If I get any if I hear from God in any way, I write those things down. If I get any directions or confirmations or next steps about the things that I set my intentions to fast about that day, then I write those down as well. And that's pretty much it. It isn't anything super deep. It's just a day that I use to get deeper in my relationship with God and to get back aligned, because I know for me, the weekends, because it's so much going on most of the time, I sometimes don't pray as much or listen to gospel as much or watch sermons as much as I might do any other day. So Mondays are just great for me to just get back in alignment, get back right with God, and just start my week off in a really great place. So I suggest fasting, and it's okay to fast from smaller things first, like fasting from social media before fasting from food, if that's what you choose to do. But once I learned that the Bible says some things only come through prayer and fasting, fasting has been just like a big part of my life. Somebody else says, making God the CEO of your business is easier said than done. How do you realize when you aren't surrendering? That's a great question. The easiest way to realize if you aren't surrendering is, one, if you are stressed. When you're surrendering your business to God, there's a level of rest in that. And there's a level of, it's like a competitive advantage that you get from that. So if you're super stressed and weary and worried, then you're not really surrendering. If you're overwhelmed, you're not really surrendering. That means you're not trusting God. Another thing is, if you feel like you're doing a lot and not seeing the results, you're probably not surrendering. What else? Yeah, I think those are the biggest ways to tell if you aren't surrendering your business. If you aren't praying about your business, if you're making decisions without praying about it or really seeking God for guidance on certain things, then you're not surrendered. If you're just not spending time with God, if you're more so just praying and doing whatever it is you want to do and not really making time to sit still and be in God's presence, then you're not surrendering. So if any of those things apply to you, I suggest really recommitting everything to God. And like I said earlier, just submitting every single day is a way that you can make sure that you stay focused. So I know if I don't spend time with God in the morning every single day, then I'm probably doing things in my own strength that day. Or if I don't take a break and be like, okay, I'm making too many decisions too fast, I need to stop. And that happens to me a lot. Like sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'm moving too fast. I'm promising too many things. I'm taking on too many responsibilities. I'm accepting too many things and I haven't even prayed about it. So I'm about to just stop. And I would literally just stop whatever I'm doing and I would go and pray. And I would just be like, God, I'm not going to make a decision on this yet until you give me the green light. And I will put it down and I would just go back to doing whatever it is that I have to do. But if I get to the point where I'm making too many decisions and not seeking God, then I have to go back and regroup and get back centered. And that's something that you can do as well. If you feel like you are doing too much in your own strength, just get back and get centered. So I think that was the end of the questions. There was another question about time management, and I would just really say to go back to that episode that I had about creating a discipline to succeed, because I really went into time management in detail in that episode. And actually, let me find it real quick while I'm on here so that I can tell you which episode it is. It is episode 54. It was actually the first episode of the year, creating a discipline to succeed in 2018. And I'll link it in this episode so that you can be able to go back and listen to it. So that's going to wrap up today's episode, you guys. If you have any questions that you want to submit, go to blessedandbossedup.com. Click on the Ask a Boss tab to submit your questions. Follow me on Instagram at Tatum Temia, TatumTemia, to stay up to date with everything that I'm doing. If you have not gotten a God is My CEO prayer journal, get that from blessedandbossedup.com and join us in the Blessed and Bossed Up Challenge. It is truly changing people's lives. It is such a blessing to be a part of, and I'm so grateful that God chose me to be the leader of this group. And I really want you to be a part as well. So get the journal and meet us there. And I will talk to you guys next week.
Banking with Arundel Federal Savings Bank means so much more than you think. Your money stays in the local community. It helps everyone grow and prosper. From a young couple moving into their first ever home to a growing family getting the bigger house they need. What else would you expect from one of the best community-minded banks in all of Maryland? Visit ArundelFederal.com for current rates and special offers. And